Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. If you read the headlines or glance at the trade magazines, it seems like self-driving cars are going to start landing in our driveways and parking buildings in the next few weeks. Maybe not that quickly, though, but sooner than we thought. It's somewhere between Tesla CEO Elon Musk's whimsical claim of a million autonomous cars next year and never, as a few analysts have written. I land on 2030 as a date where the tipping point will hit the road, so to speak, when the majority of transport will be autonomous. Now, that's not a rando year. A new report from McKinsey Research taps 2030 as well.
If you think about kind of will everybody own a car, like a little bit like we have it today? No, not necessarily. If I'm actually more on the countryside in a suburb, I might own a car. If I'm actually only in the city, I might actually think about it's much more important to have access to mobility.
That's one of the McKinsey study's authors and the subject of this week's interview. According to McKinsey & Company, it's clear that the trends transforming mobility's future are here and here to stay, with far-reaching and widespread implications for countries and consumers all around the world. The age of autonomy, connectivity, electric, and sharing, and for shorthand we'll use ACES, promises to transform the world of mobility to a greater degree than even Henry Ford and the Model T did more than 100 years ago. The global report is titled Mobility's Second Great Inflection Point, and it details how radical changes are coming faster and across more dimensions than the first horses-to-cars inflection point in the early 1900s. Hydrogen fuel cells, native EV platforms, and AI-powered virtual chauffeurs are just a few of the technological innovations in the coming age of ACES, a mobility revolution that will reshape society by 2030. And again, that's according to the report. Autonomous vehicles will be the center of this revolution, disrupting the auto industry in ways not seen in more than a century. In fact, the McKinsey report projects that global revenues from AVs in urban areas could reach $1.6 trillion by 2030. That's more than two times the combined 2017 revenues of Ford, GM, Toyota, and VW combined. Okay, let's get into it.
Yeah, my name is Stefan Knüpfer. I'm a senior partner at McKinsey & Company. I'm an automotive veteran in an organization. I lead our sustainability practice, and I'm a global expert on mobility.
All of those accolades and all of those bona fides shine through in this report. It's an aggressive and deep research report called Mobility's Second Great Inflection Point. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a second inflection point. For context, what was the first mobility inflection point?
So we think the first mobility inflection point was more than 100 years ago when people, obviously, in order to have mobility, they used horses, and there were many horses out there. And it was very difficult for people to imagine that there's anything else than horses. And then the car came around, and we actually managed a way that then also that cars were affordable for many, many people, and that changed the perception on mobility and allowed people to have a degree of freedom to move around wherever they want to go in a way that was unseen before. And that has shaped pretty much the whole way how we move around for the last 100 years.
Okay, and we've been talking on...
Very appreciative, by the way, over the last 100 years.
That's fair. The report, like I said at the top, the report is comprehensive. It's conclusive. It's so rich that I can honestly throw a dart at a dartboard and pick a good project to start with. So let's just do that. I want to start with one of the conclusions. The public benefits from fully adopted autonomous vehicles in the U.S. alone could exceed $800 billion annually by 2030. Can you help me unpack that? What does that take away right there? Because that seems like not only a lot faster than I think a lot of us anticipated, but also a lot more economic impact.
Yeah, so I think maybe let me start actually with saying one important point, because we do believe that the end state, Jason, of the global mobility and the future of mobility will be significantly better than what we have today. And I think what you just mentioned, I think obviously the economic impact will be significant. And the reason is that we say you might actually sell at one point less cars because you will use the cars significantly better. Right now, the average car is actually parked more than 95% of the time, mm-hmm. which is obviously not a good use of your assets. So therefore, if you use this asset significantly more, that's exactly what's going to happen. The next thing is if you make moving around easier, safer, less expensive, greener, people will move around more. It is always like this kind of, if you make it better, then people are going to use it more. Think about internet sales. Mm-hmm. More goods will be delivered, so you have to have significantly more. Third thing, think about services that you will have. So which means people going to use many more services while they are in the car if they don't have to drive. And you sit in the car, you're obviously using more services, you consume more. And then the last thing is obviously all those new technologies that will come into a car will make the car probably a more expensive asset at the beginning, which obviously is also good for the economy.
Okay, Stefan, if I'm reading it correctly, too, have you concluded in the report that car ownership is on the decline and will eventually be declined?
Actually, I can't really say, because honestly, if it's in the total numbers of car ownership might actually be up, going up or down, because there will be more people in the world. There will be more people actually moving around, and they will actually more distance. So that will rise there. If you think about kind of will everybody own a car, like a little bit like we have it today? No, not necessarily. If I'm actually more on the countryside in a suburb, I might own a car. If I'm actually owned in the city, I might actually think about it's much more important to have access to mobility, and not only cars. It might be a subway. It might be a combination of a train, a subway, an electrical scooter, all those different things, but it needs to be seamless. So very convenient, very affordable. I'm actually happy to do this, but I'm probably not going to pay for the parking or something.
Right. Another thing that struck me from this report is that we're talking about an existential shift, a paradigm shift, that touches so many aspects of our daily lives, things that we may not even think about, things like connectivity, AI, and that kind of interface. Let's start with alternative fuel, hydrogen fuel cells, EV platforms, etc. What kind of a role do those play?
I think all those technologies, by the way, have been around for a significant time, so they're not new.
Okay.
So we had hydrogen, I think the idea of fuel cells, the idea before the first electrical vehicle was around 1920. The most important thing is actually, Jason, right now that we have four new technologies that got significant momentum over the last kind of 3 to 4 years, not even much longer. So, and we call them ACEs, kind of autonomy, connectivity, electrical sharing. All of them, honestly, by themselves are tremendous trends. If you put them together primarily in a city environment, that's what they lead actually to, because they enforce each other, that's what leads to a revolution. The issue is a little bit, there are many more other ideas that people have. If you are, just as one example, a car company and you're building combustion engines today and you need to build electrical vehicles and you have to be part of the mobility transformation, which they all believe is going to happen, actually all invest, there's a lot of money that you have to spend. So the question becomes a little bit, how many different technologies do I buy into? And I think at this point right now, it's still more combustion engines than anything else. The big push that everybody does right now is electrical vehicles. The question is a little bit more, how much, many more kind of other technologies do I want to invest into? So therefore, I would right now pretty much bet on electrical vehicles. If you think about kind of, there are about 200 new models coming out at this point right now every year.
Okay. Let's shift back just real quick to ownership again, because it seems like part of the American fabric or culture is about a car. It's about the freedom of mobility. It's about the open road. It's kind of ingrained in the DNA of most Americans. Do you find that that's a cultural headwind to progress when it comes to ACEs, like you said, autonomy, connectivity, electric, and sharing?
I like that you say this, because it's actually not only the American dream, because you can hear I'm German. I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
I love driving cars. I actually have my classic cars. I drive stick shift, so I love all of this stuff. And I like to drive fast, which I shouldn't say probably, Jason.
That's okay. I do too.
So which means I actually like all of this because I get options now. So which means in a future car, and I'm on a country road, I actually take over the car and I drive and hope and actually drive a little bit faster than I should and enjoy actually everything about the car that I've done so far. If I then have actually head to the city and I go 5 miles per hour, I must admit I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
If I can take my hands off the wheel and I actually can talk to my family or can start working, look at the screen and actually become productive and then honestly have my working day start there, in the car, and not only when I arrive in my office, I get significantly more productive and have more time for the family. So my point is, I have choices. And I think that's exactly when you look at generations also. I'm the older generation. I will continue to like my car and will change slower. The younger generation is actually the one who takes this in a heartbeat right now. They love their cell phone. They actually take that under service and they drive it. So the consumers, the younger generations, they will drive all of this.
Coming up after the break, part two of my chat about the economics of mobility as we get closer to self-driving vehicles being part of our lives. More from McKinsey's research is next, so please do stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.